focusing on stories of overcoming pandemic-era government overreach, censorship, vaccine injury, and the suppression of alternative treatments for COVID-19, the newly published Canary in a Post-COVID World, Money, Fear and Power, features chapters from 37 contemporary thought leaders, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The book is the sequel to last year's Canary in a COVID World, How Propaganda and Censorship Changed Our My World, which examined what it was like to be a proverbial canary in a coal mine during the COVID-19 pandemic. C.H. Ho Klotz, the book's editor, told The Defender the book builds on the first volume by further exploring COVID-era tyranny. Klotz said, "I felt the first volume had not developed the idea of tyranny deeply enough. COVID wasn't just a nasty flu. It was used as a tool for power and control. The Canary brand stood for brave people speaking the truth. This new crop of canaries has fascinating stories to tell that will educate, shock and anger many." Among the book's canaries is Kennedy, President-elect Donald J., Trump's nominee for Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and founder of Children's Health Defense, CHD. Kennedy's chapter examines the chronic health epidemic, censorship, and his decision to join forces with Trump. According to Klotz, Canary in a Post-COVID World is already an Amazon bestseller in several categories, including medical ethics, health administration policy, and immune system diseases. He said the new volume shifts from an explicit focus on COVID-19 to broader ideas about tyranny and what could come next. Canary in a Post-COVID World lands as an Amazon number one bestseller during week one of launch. Across both volumes, 71 canaries share their insights. Amazon, https://t.co/qkj57lxppr. Visit our Substack page, https://t.co/macpoco2@drjulipaness@walscogjoel@scottatlas_it@pic@twitter.com/tupsyshr07w. Canary in a COVID World, at canary_covid, November 18, 2024. A sick child is the best thing for the pharmaceutical industry. Kennedy's contribution, Healing a Divided Nation, The Fight for Free Speech, Health and Peace, is a modified version of his August 23 speech announcing the suspension of his presidential campaign and his decision to join the Trump campaign. The chapter addresses the weaponization of government and media. He wrote, "What alarms me is they resort to censorship and media control, and the weaponization of the federal agencies. When a U.S. president colludes with or outright coerces media companies to censor political speech, it's an attack on our most sacred right, that of free expression, and that's the very right upon which all of our other constitutional rights rest." Kennedy also addressed the capture of federal regulatory agencies, calling them corrupted and conflicted. He said public health agencies are all controlled by giant for-profit corporations, and that the Trump administration will end this. He wrote, "We're going to staff these agencies with honest scientists and doctors who are free from industry funding. We're going to make sure the decisions of consumers, doctors, and patients are informed by unbiased science. A sick child is the best thing for the pharmaceutical industry. When American children or adults get sick with a chronic condition, they're put on medications for their entire life. We need to know how to recognize medical tyranny." Dr. Charles Hoff, a general practitioner and emergency room doctor in Canada, faced disciplinary action by Canadian medical authorities for revealing evidence of severe adverse events in his patients following COVID-19 vaccination. In his chapter, noting that his repeated warnings about the risks of the COVID-19 vaccine resulted in repeated complaints against him, Hoff wrote, "The irony of this was glaring. All the draconian COVID restrictions were done in the name of safety. However, the absolute refusal of public health to acknowledge the safety signals from the novel vaccine showed that the public health measures were certainly not about safety. They were about enforcing compliance and control," Hoff wrote. Hoff told The Defender, "The COVID pandemic was a moral integrity test for the medical profession, which failed miserably. Persecution of whistleblowers was very effective in creating an illusion of consensus in the medical establishment. We need to know how to recognize medical tyranny. Another fabricated crisis is just around the corner. Those caught being deceitful need to be brought to justice." Byram W. Bridle, PhD, Associate Professor of Viral Immunology at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada, addressed public health deception. His chapter included several excerpts from documents and emails revealing deception. Chronicling his own experience being censored for sharing evidence about the harms of the COVID-19 shots, Bridal told the defender that as a truth-teller and a vaccinologist that actually follows legitimate science, he developed concerns about public messaging regarding the science underpinning COVID-19. The public was being deceived, Bridal wrote. To restore faith in public health, those caught being deceitful need to be brought to justice. Many of our public health agencies have proven to be corrupt. The public should never again be forced to experience anything remotely similar to the unmitigated disaster that the COVID-19 policies predictably proved to be, Bridal said. Medical freedom fighters saved a whistleblower from COVID protocols. Canadian mathematician and physician Dr. Sam Dubay contributed a chapter about meeting John O'Looney, a UK funeral director turned whistleblower who revealed the artificial inflation of COVID-19 death figures. Dubay wrote, John was a leader in exposing the excessive use of the drug midazolam in a treating COVID in UK nursing homes, resulting in thousands of unnecessary deaths, which further inflated the COVID death toll. He was also painfully aware that given his whistleblower status, he could very well be a target for those he had implicated or exposed. Dubay said O'Looney's fears were realized when he was hospitalized and faced pressure from doctors and nurses to take remdesivir, despite testing negative for COVID-19. Dubay wrote that a group of doctors, lawyers, and friends of Alunius ultimately helped him escape from the hospital. I was highly motivated to finally tell the whole story of how a diverse group of medical freedom fighters had worked together across an ocean to save the life of one of their own. COVID response based more on behavioral psychology than clinical virology. Jason Kristoff, a behavior modification expert who hosts the Psychology of Freedom podcast, wrote about psychological manipulation during the pandemic. He wrote, demonstrations of immense public power can trigger a survival response of trauma, bonding with the abusers and endorsing the abuser for fear of reprisal. And we saw many people do that in 2020. They sided with the government not because the government was making sense, but because the government was a bully. Kristoff told the defender he hoped to help the public understand that the world's COVID-19 response was based more on behavioral psychology than clinical virology. It's important that our entire population understand the characteristics of any psychological operation, to sidestep future attempts to remove our basic rights and freedoms under false pretenses, Kristoff said. Weaponization of media created a perfect storm of lies and propaganda. Independent journalist Josh Walkos, in his chapter titled The Weaponization of Mass Communication, focused on the media's role in COVID-era behavioral modification. He said this weaponization created a perfect storm that has fueled not only the COVID era, but has been ever-present in our lives for decades. The extreme polarization that characterized the COVID years still persists. Many, particularly in the media, are now in full-on gaslight revisionist mode, insisting that no one was forced to do anything, Walkos wrote. Walkos told the defender that when he took the time to investigate what we were all being told, he found nothing but lies and propaganda. Every single topic's messaging was designed to coerce and shame us into compliance and was astoundingly deceitful, Walkos said. I believe that COVID was only round one. It was a massive wealth transfer, but also a power transfer. COVID policies motivated by voracious desire for profit, power, and democide. Writer and blogger Margaret Anna Alice wrote a retrospective of humanity's path during and after the COVID-19 pandemic. Most ordinary people cannot fathom the degree to which their beliefs and perceptions have been molded by the public opinion engineers, especially if they watch television and consume other mainstream media, Alice wrote. Alice told the defender, COVID policies were not motivated by the ostensible excuse of protecting the public health, but rather by a voracious desire for profit, power, and democide. The COVID playbook will be used to perpetrate future rinse-and-repeat atrocities if people fail to realize mistakes were not made. COVID response led to pandemic agenda, push to restrict speech. For public health physician and biotech consultant Dr. David Bell, moneyed interests view global health scares as a profit opportunity. False assertions stated as accepted fact have proven very effective in increasing the industry's share of the global financial cake, Bell wrote in his chapter. He added, As a public health physician, I have a duty to speak up when public health is once more being used to subvert human freedom and corrupt society. Discussion is the most important tool in keeping society sane and preserving freedom. We need books like this. The COVID response was just a symptom of a much deeper problem. It is continuing in the pandemic agenda and in the push for restricting speech, travel, and proposals for programmable currencies, Bell said. Scientific fundamentals not applied to pandemic. Ian Brighthope, president and founder of the Australasian College of Nutritional and Environmental Medicine, wrote that a shift toward nutritional medicine could help lead to a pandemic-free future, the title of his chapter. Brighthope wrote, "Nutritional medicine could save hundreds of millions of lives. The world will be free of future pandemics only when we come to the understanding that the known scientific fundamentals have not been applied to the pandemic." Brighthope told The Defender he was motivated to write his chapter because he observed a tragic underutilization of nutritional advice, including essential vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that are critical to immune function, during the pandemic. "The central message of my chapter is that strengthening the immune system through targeted nutrition is essential for preventing and combating infectious diseases, including future pandemics," Brighthope said. Book raises important considerations for a new administration to address. Klotz said, "Canary in a post-COVID world, aside from giving voice to censored thought leaders, also benefits organizations advocating for health freedom. These organizations include CHD, the Informed Consent Action Network, and React 19. $3 from each book sold will be donated to these organizations." Klotz said a third Canaria volume is planned, which may focus on mainstream climate change narratives. He also addressed the significance of the book's release shortly before the Trump administration takes office. "It shows the diversity of people who recognize that COVID was a power play. And it unveils more broadly the ways in which we have all been manipulated," Klotz said. "These are important considerations for a new administration to address."